Buccaneers fans, you waited a little longer this time, but we still got two Ira Kaufman podcasts this week. As always, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. This is the trio that makes it all happen. I'm not sure about that, Ira, but you are back from the beach, taking a little R&R, still working with your columns, of course, though. So you're back. How are you? We got a lot to talk about as we head into Memorial Day weekend.
Gentlemen, I own up to my faults. I will take the responsibility. Javier, if you're listening, I know you're pissed off that you've waited this long for this week's podcast, but it's on me. I was in Daytona Beach, a little vacation. And as Lee pointed out the other day, I called him from poolside. Yes, I did. Lee, the word of the day, svelte. Svelte. S-V-E-L-T-E. I'm down 10 pounds. I weighed myself today when I got back, even with the Mexican restaurant, the margarita, the flautas, the guacamole. I'm still down 10. I'm looking strong. Got in the new bathing suit. Not the one, not the pink one with the flamingos. That one was returned. This is a nice white and blue one. I was looking strong, went into the water, went into the mighty Atlantic with the hat and the sunglasses, unlike 2 years ago this time. I didn't lose both of them within the first 30 seconds. I was a little smarter. Gentlemen, I'll start this podcast out like this. I hope Steve's sitting down. I hope he's not driving. This is what makes for a happy marriage, gentlemen. My wife's laying there. She's got a nice little romance novel. She's flipping pages left and right. And I am reading a book called The Making of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. That's the book I was reading. Three chapters just on the shower scene. I think I'm going to lay off showers for a while. That's from here on in. One of the all-timers, 1960. Nobody'd ever seen anything like it at that time. Hitchcock having fun with the audience, knocks off Janet Leigh in the first half of the movie. Nobody had ever seen anything like that. The classic closing scene in the basement.
Okay, I know you're losing your audience here. Come on, come on.
So we're going to talk a little buck football. Nothing psycho about that. But Steve, I just wanted you to know what was going on out in Daytona.
That is fantastic, Ira. I'm glad you are revved up and relaxed. And it's a little bit interesting because, you know, everybody knows you're on this diet. You're feeling feeling svelte, but the number was 10 days ago, Ira. You got to get it up to 11 or 12 and a half or something. But I understand.
Well, you eat guac.
It depends how you want to look at it, gentlemen. But I just spent 4 days on vacation and didn't put on any weight. So for me, Lee, the margarita glass is half full, half full.
There
well,
we go.
More
Ira.
People are interested in your diet and your margarita drinking than they are Janet Leigh.
There you go.
You got a week of tennis coming up. The next thing you know, it'll be 12 and a half. But this weekend, of course, there are two prime things to do this weekend on Memorial Day weekend. And that's before you head out and maybe honor those in the military who passed away, if you do that on Monday. But before that, you can shop at Bill Curry Ford. The Memorial Day deals are on. They've also got $1,000 appreciation cash for medical professionals, first responders, military personnel. It's an extra $1,000 off. And, of course, they've got a blowout sale up to 50% off on pre-owned vehicles, which I know has been very successful. I've purchased a pre-owned vehicle, not this weekend, but I've got one from Bill Curry Ford. They've got their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. They're open all weekend. They love the Bucks. GM Sean Sullivan, he's eager. He is fired up to help you personally, like he's your favorite cousin in the car business. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan. Ask for him. You'll get the Ira Kaufman discount. And Ira, don't shop for a car. The other thing, I said there were two things. Don't shop for a car or a Ford Bronco or an F-150 when you've had something to drink. Not a good idea. And of course, this is the weekend, the beautiful weekend, to enjoy Big Storm Beer, Florida's very best craft beer. Figure out where to find it and where you're going to buy it at bigstormbrewery.com. You can punch in your zip code there, and that's their storm tracker. It'll tell you what stores have Big Storm Beer, And of course, many fine establishments have Big Storm beer on tap, and their tap rooms are, they've got all the great beers there in Clearwater on 49th Street, in Odessa on Success Drive, right there off State Road 54. And Big Storm is there in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center. More locations coming. We love Big Storm beer. No Big Storm Big Giant Cubans for you this weekend, Ira. You got to get svelte. You got to stay svelte. But next week for sure. All right, Ira, look, I'm going to ask you some broad questions today here, because the bottom line is fans don't want to really hear about how Josh Wells might have been blocking when he's not allowed to touch anybody in minicamp. And they don't really care too much about how Herb Miller is looking at safety, that kind of stuff. So, Ira, let's go here. You know, it's a strange phenomenon, a unique phenomenon, where you've got Tom Brady leading private workouts at the Yankees field, short bike ride, 5-minute bike ride from One Buck Palace, where they're having OTAs. And Bruce Arians is out there publicly pleading, and it's very calculated, Ira. He's made it very clear. I told them they could just work out here whenever they want and no rules, and we'll give you the key to the indoor facility, Tom, and we'll let you do this and whatever, but just do it here. And Brady says, no, 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 we'll do it down the street. And it's a clear message, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, Ira. I don't really get it, but it is a clear message by Brady, where he doesn't want to be at One Buck for some reason. Maybe it's ego, because he told everybody, don't go to OTAs. I don't really know, Ira, but it's a little odd. And I think it's pretty cool, on a side note, that Giovanni Bernard is going to both sessions, because he says, I need as much work as I can get to fit in, because I'm the oddball who doesn't know the offense. So what's your overall thought as this has transpired, Ira?
I don't like it one bit. Now, look. Steinbrenner Field is beautiful. It's a great facility, but wait, it's a minor league baseball facility. That's what it is, yep. A spring training baseball facility. It's not built for football.
Quickly, Ira, just to clarify, the workouts that Brady is having is at the minor league complex on Hines, which is just south of the stadium.
All right, that's fine. That's
same thing like you said, it's baseball. They talked about they had to have cones for sidelines. It's not built for football.
I really don't understand Brady's thinking on this. It's not like this is old One Buck out by the airport, you know, where the weight room is out back right next to the fields. This is a state-of-the-art facility that the Bucks have built. It's very functional. It's the envy of a lot of franchises. And why not take advantage of it? It's a controlled environment. Like Steve said, I don't care whether Arians is being genuine or not, but he's issued the invitation. You might as well take him up on it. Why would you go to a minor league facility when you can have everything that One Buck Place affords you? I really don't understand it. And here's another factor, and I hope this never happens. But suppose Brady or somebody that he's practicing with gets hurt on a facility that's not at One Buck. Then you got the whole thing, you know, who's liable and are they going to pay for the injury and the rehab and a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of pressure on the Buck. Suppose it's Brady, you got to pay for it. You can't piss Brady off. And Lee, I really don't understand Brady's stance here. If he's trying to make a point, I'm not sure the point he's trying to make.
I agree with both you guys. It doesn't make sense. Now, what I'm about to say is I do not know if it's true. There's two things I don't know if they're true or not in relation to this. One is, remember, Brady's got his own production company, TV production company, movie production company. He started this about maybe a year, year and a half ago. He's a part owner. Perhaps he's doing some kind of documentary, which the NFL won't sign off on. Well, if you use, as Arians wants it to, if you use One Buck Palace, that's NFL property. They got to be approved to get in there. Perhaps this has something to do with the documentary. You know, Brady coming back from knee surgery. I'm speculating. I don't know what the subject might be. But that could be why. First off, we don't even know if Brady threw a pass or not. There's no video out there. We saw pictures of him holding a football. Well, I didn't see any picture of him throwing a football. Clearly, they're at the Yankees minor league complex. That's away from the prying eyes. You know, the guys hiding in the bushes at Berkeley Prep that did that last year. They're away from that. They're away from the public eye. So it's very interesting if that this might be part of some sort of production that, that Brady's company is doing. But, yeah, on face value, it makes no sense. Now, the question I wonder is, I heard Pat Kerwin, you know, former NFL executive, former Buck Scout, SiriusXM NFL radio. He talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, this is about the right tackle, the Broncos' right tackle. Juwan James, is that right, Ira? That blew out his knee or blew out his Achilles working away from the facility, and the team cut him. Well, Kerwin said generally teams have a list of where you can and can't work out, like an approved list. Like, okay, you get hurt there, you're cool because the people there, they know what they're doing. They don't want these guys to go out at some crappy high school with potholes and sprinkler heads and pull a Mickey Mantle and blow out a knee, stuff like that. They want to go to a place that the upkeep is good, like a Berkeley Prep or like a Jesuit, something like that. So, and also I know Steve wrote about this, about, you know, working away from the facility and getting sued. I wonder if the quote-unquote approved list is also approved to give these guys a waiver of liability of some sort. You know, like, oh, they get they blow an ankle, they're not going to get cut, and the team will take care of it. It doesn't make any sense on face value, but if you factor in maybe Brady's got something behind the scenes going with this production company, okay, that starts to make a little bit of sense.
That might be an explanation in terms of the production company, but I don't think it's a valid reason. It's not enough of a valid reason that you're placating, you know, and we don't know that that's the case, Brady's production company. We don't know that. But if it is, I don't think it's a good enough reason, Steve, not to use the facility, take advantage of what the Bucks are offering. Look, I know the chances of an injury are remote, Steve. They're remote. But you can't say it can't happen. And I think the chances would be less if they worked out a one buck.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me. The production company angle, I totally think that it's possible, except I don't think it's possible at the same time, because if Tom Brady, let's step into just, you know, human reality here. If Tom Brady picks up the phone and says, "Hey, Brian Glazer, I want to work out at one buck with some of the guys, and I want to bring in my production crew to shoot some stuff alongside us. Is that okay?" He's going to say, "Yes, Tom, absolutely. You need some coffee? What do you need?"
But Steve, it might have to be approved by the league. It might.
I don't think so.
But I understand. I understand what you're saying.
I'll tell you why. I don't know why it would have to be approved, because the Glazers control the
money,
the logos, and as long as it's under the guidance of what the league is okay with their league logos being a part of, I don't see why it would be a problem. I mean, look at all the things that happen at one buck, summer camps and all kinds of things and events. And the Bucks specifically will rent out occasionally on the indoor facility. That was part of the goal of the facility, to do some community type things in there. I mean, as long as Brady says, you know, look, Brian, no strippers, no nudity, no this, no that. It just seems so hard to believe. But it same thing goes on the flip side, is that if Brady calls the Glazers and says, "Hey, I'm going to be working out again on the side with some of the guys. Do I have your word that you'll cover, you'll protect them if they get hurt? As long as they're training with me, I can tell them that, you know, if they get hurt, the team's not going to hold it against you." I'm sure the Glazers would say, "Absolutely, Tom, no problem." So it's just a little strange. He's putting his foot down on something that I don't know if he really needs to. I don't know. And then to make it even more confusing, Brady went to One Buck on Friday with some sort of group to work out. We don't know exactly who. And that's a day after the OTAs ended for this last week. And we don't know what's going to happen going forward. And of course, June 9th is when the program ends. They're cutting it off a little early. So who knows where the players are going to work out after that. Does that mean they're going to open up One Buck for Brady after the coaches all leave and the players have to vacate the facility? So it's all dicey no matter how you look at it.
This injury thing is sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could be very crass about it, Lee, and you could argue, well, it depends who gets hurt. You know what I'm saying, Lee? If it's the number four safety, you know, maybe the guy's not covered. Maybe the guy's injury's not covered. And if it's Tom Brady, it's a done deal. Brady's covered. So, you know, don't think that doesn't enter into it.
I don't want to kill the subject, but that just while we're think while I'm thinking of it, if you're a bubble player, I'm going to guess if you're a bubble player, you're Tanner Hudson or Justin Watts, someone like that. You better be vaccinated. You better be vaccinated, because I don't think teams are going to keep bubble players who don't get shot up. I don't mean to get on some kind of tangent or anything there, but I'm just. That's just what your point, Ira, that made me think of. If you're a bubble player, if you're Watson, you're Tanner Hudson, whomever, Cam Gill, you better be vaccinated if you want a job in the NFL.
Sage, you know what? This weekend, we're all going to be relaxing and having a good time. And, of course, Lee and I will be obsessing about all things Bucks 24/7. But most normal people will be just having a great time. And you can't take advantage of your home if you're enjoying it at home. You got people coming over, you're having a barbecue, you're pulling things out that you haven't in a year, and all of a sudden you find mold in your house. You can't blow it off. If you find it in the garage, it's the time of year where it's going to grow and grow and grow quickly. You have to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the company in the broader, greater Tampa Bay area that handles any kind of mold disasters. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. No, they are true experts. They are not going to rip you off. They will work with your insurance company if it's an insurance matter. But best of all, they're going to come to your home, give you a full assessment, absolutely free, with their top technology and their experts. Josh Martin, the boss over at Florida's Elite Restoration, he's a friend. He's a friend of Ira. You guys hang out in Publix parking lots. You drink beer together. Josh Martin and his team, they're fantastic. They're a small company, family-owned, but they're big enough to cover the Bay Area and do it right. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Bookmark that site, because anything happens in your home, you get a fire damage from lightning, or you know how that goes, Ira. You got to know who to call.
Hey, Steve, there's another factor in all this, and it's not a minor one, which is people are selling their homes in hours, and eight people are bidding on houses, and they're giving more than you asked for, so... In this environment, with homes being shuffled back and forth, you know, a big part of selling your home is passing the inspection. You're going to have your house inspected, no matter how many people you got bidding on it. And if you've got water damage and you've tried to cover it up and you didn't think that much of it and it happened a year ago or whatever, or you still got some standing water, you're going to flunk. And if you flunk, you're back where you started. And it might cost you a lot of money, more money than not attending to it when you started by calling Florida's Elite Restoration. So, Steve, you're selling your home. There's an inspection. And mold could very much come into the picture at that point.
Sage wisdom from the sage himself. Ira, before we get on some current topics, let me rewind here a little bit to Levante David. Lee uncovered... David revealed, simply stated, that the night before his opening game as a rookie, the night before, they told him, no, you're going to get the green dot. You're going to be calling the defensive plays. When he didn't do it through the summer, the Bucks at the time had Mason Foster there. The new Shiano order decided Levante David, he's our guy. And Lee thinks this is just ridiculous and evidence of the ineptitude of one small little taste of the craziness that went on during the lost decade. Your thoughts, Lee's thoughts, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
I'm with the Kemper on this one. Not the decision to switch, but the timing. Lee, the timing. You got all week long. You're supposed to be talking to your coaches. You're supposed to be having daily discussions. Hey, how do we improve moving on? Lee, that's a decision you make on Tuesday. You don't wait till the end of the week, and you know you're courting disaster, and it speaks of disorganization. And you know the irony, Lee. The irony is, I believe it was the first game of Levante's second year, not his rookie year, when you know that famous game at the Meadowlands. I was there, Lee. I don't know if you were there, but you know Josh Freeman wasn't ready to play that day. Yet the Bucks had the Jets beat. They were beat. And that was the famous, you know, Levante late hit out of bounds. Very atypical bonehead play by Levante David. But, Lee, you don't make a panic move that late in the week. It really tells you what was going on behind the scenes at One Buck Place during that Schiano regime. Shame on them.
Yeah, I registered to be clear. Levante's rookie year was at the Meadowlands, but that was the second game. The first game was they squeaked by the Panthers. No harm, no foul. The next week, they went up to play the Giants, and Eli Manning went bananas on them. Threw 600 yards. It was hideous. I'm like you. The timing was just, I really don't have any words for it. Hours before kickoff, the night before the kickoff, you get this, you hit the epiphany. Hey, let's let a rookie call the plays who never practiced doing that one bit. It's like, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
And Lee, that second game against the Giants when Manning threw for, I think it might have been 5-10, I think it was. And that's the game that ended with the victory formation and Schiano telling the Bucks to bowl them over and the confrontation with Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, what a great day in Bucks history that was. And but, you know, I have to, I totally get it. Logically, you guys are 100% on the money, and I can't think of any smart reason why that was done to just stick it to a rookie like that after you watched another guy handle the play calling and the all the responsibilities there all through the training camp. But I got to say this. I got to say maybe they just looked at Levante David and said, you know what? This guy's way better than we thought. This guy could be a future Hall of Famer. This guy's got great command of everything. He's a student of the game, and he's just, wow, let's give it to him and see how he goes. We're not going to win anything this year anyway, and it's my first year of the regime. Let's hand it over to David because this is going to be his defense one day. I got to say, maybe they thought that, and you know what? The Bucks, they didn't think they were going to win a title in 2012, so I don't know if I have a bad feeling about it.
So they came to this conclusion at 5 o'clock the night before the game early? That took them that long to figure that out?
Steve, to back up what you were saying about Levante David and how they look at him, and this is a different regime, obviously, but I think it's worth reiterating that this was told to me directly by Bruce Arians, directly, and he offered it up. I didn't ask a question about it. He offered it up. He said that right now and for the foreseeable future, and he's under contract, I believe, for 2 more years now, Levante David is Bruce Arians' voice in the locker room. He's the guy that Arians listens to, at least on the defensive side of the ball. It's not JPP. It's not Shaq Barrett. It's not Devin White. It's not. It's Levante David. Part of that's his experience, you know, over Devin White. But Levante David has a lot of sway with Bruce Arians, as he should.
I got you, Ira. It's a fun subject. And I agree with you guys. It doesn't make sense to do it the night before the game. You could have waited a week, you know, giving the guy a break, especially a rookie.
3 days. Like 3 days, like Ira said. Start doing that on Tuesday.
Well, just do it in week two. You know, if you, get through week one, let the rookie just absorb the NFL and throw it in week two. And as we were talking, I was looking at the bye week that year. I think it was in week five, so maybe they could have just waited a month. You know, it is a bizarre decision, and, you know, there's a lot of more bizarre stuff that's going to come out about that era as the years go by and people start naming names and talking. You know, we talked on last podcast about Mark Dominic's decision and the whole Brett Favre trade there, and that didn't happen. Anybody wants to listen to that, of course, so you can subscribe or go back and get old podcasts at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, wherever. And Sage,
I never want to hear it again. I never want to hear it again.
I got a better one for you, Ira and Steve. I don't think we've talked about this for obvious reasons. You know, Steve was referencing how, you know, sometimes it takes years for stories to seep out. I don't think we will ever hear Dominic talk about this on SiriusXM NFL Radio. But Dominic was around. He certainly knows about it. I think it was last summer. It was within the last year, maybe year and a half, you know, after Kellen Winslow has been a documented scumbag and a jailbird now and a senior citizen rapist. And it's come out, and I don't know how to say this delicately, but on flights, no one wanted to sit next to him because Winslow had a significant habit of, let's just say, grabbing a blanket, covering himself up, and watching porn on his cell phone.
That's enough. That's enough, DeKemper.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's enough.
And I don't think we'll hear Dominic talk about that. I really doubt
it. Yeah.
Well, now that Lee brought that up, I guess I can't talk about how much.
We all know he's a jerk off. We all knew he was a jerk off, and this kind of proves it.
Now that Lee brought that up, I guess I can't roll into how much you enjoy your 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, Ira.
Speaking of Ford Escapes, Ira, over the weekend, I decided to go out, have a few beers. I don't want to drive, of course, so I took an Uber. And the Uber that picked me up was a Ford Escape. That's a sweet ride, Ira.
It is. It's a sweet ride. It's a sweet ride.
It is a sweet ride, Ira. Of course, Ira, you've got the fancy one, the cherry red Ford Escape, all the options, and you can shop for those at Bill Curry Ford. Ira, did you have something you wanted to say? Otherwise, I got something to throw past you.
Just something quick. You guys may not agree, but, you brought up Mason Foster's name. And while the Bucks drafted Levante David and Devin White, and that's two A-pluses. Now, White didn't draft David, but for the organization. But, I think it's worth mentioning that, we got a little excited about Mason Foster. Not bad rookie year, 115 tackles, not bad. Quan Alexander, not bad. Those first years, he's got hustle. He goes downfield. He'll run and strip the ball from a guy. But you know what, Steve? I think it's worth mentioning. They really didn't make their mark, and they're not going to make their mark. Quan Alexander's had some injury issues. But even when Quan Alexander was healthy, he's just a guy.
He's got
the same problems. Mason Foster, just a guy. You don't always hit those draft picks, Lee. You don't always hit them.
Mason Foster wasn't a bad linebacker. He might have been better than Quan. I'll mention that real quickly in a second. But got to remember, Mason Foster, after, the great the great talent evaluator of our time, Lovie Smith, got rid of him. He started for the Redskins in a playoff game.
Yeah.
So how bad could he have been? Meanwhile, the Bucs getting their derrieres handed to them defensively, and a guy that wasn't good enough for Lovie was starting a playoff game. So, and about Quan, here's where, for me, Quan turned the page. When a quarterback in a Super Bowl bowls you over at the goal line, your career's done. A middle linebacker should never, ever get bowled over by a quarterback, especially in a Super Bowl. And Pat Mahomes did. And that, for me, I like Quan, but that, for me, was like, okay, you got to move on. And I think John Lynch came to the same conclusion. Unfortunately for Lynch, when he saw in a Super Bowl, he couldn't even make a tackle on the quarterback at the goal line.
He never got any better, Steve. He never got any better.
Well, just to be fair, a little bit with Alexander, and we'll move on. In that Super Bowl, Quan had been out for months, and that was his first game back, and really was, they were saying, playing at like 60%, but they wanted him in there. And I'll just throw that out there. It wasn't like he was ready for it in the sense of the word. They were just sort of experimenting with playing him in that game.
What a game to experiment, the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy that's probably going to play for five or six teams, Steve, before he's done.
Well, if you look at it in bigger perspective, mate, what Mason Foster did as a third-round pick, strong draft pick, very solid. What Quan did as a fourth-round pick, extremely solid. So you're not gonna lose if that's the quality of your third and fourth-round picks every single year. But, Sage, let's flip over to something a little bit more current. Todd Bowles was talking yesterday, and one of the things he said was about Joe Tryon. he was very clear and straight-faced, and I say straight-faced because I don't always believe these guys, and you shouldn't, but he was very clear. I asked him about Anthony Nelson, and he was talking about Tryon and other guys, and he said that, look, once we get to camp, doesn't matter where you were drafted, just doesn't matter. Whoever plays the best is getting in. You know, Tryon's going to work outside. He's not going to rush inside until maybe he's ready or and maybe gets some real time there, but that's not the focus. But he really was sort of trying to say that, look, Tryon's got a little ways to go, and if he's not better than Anthony Nelson, he's not going to play. I don't know if I buy that, because you know how it is with investiture, your favorite word, Ira, from years ago when you used to talk about Austin Seferian Jack Wagon and the organization's commitment to him. So I don't know. What do you think? You think Tryon, there's a chance that if he's not Anthony Nelson, he's going to not really play, and he'll play special teams all year? How serious do you think they are to playing the best guy?
Lee, I don't want to put a curse on a first-round pick, but if I had to put money on it, Lee, if I did, I'm going to say that Joe Tryon is not going to have much of an impact on the 2021 Bucks. I mean, that's just the way it's looking to me. You know, the procedure, that doesn't help him. I'm not sure he's got enough moves until he starts working with these Buck coaches, who are very good coaches, Lee. This is a Cracker Jack coaching staff. They've proved that to me in the past 2 years. And I think they've worked on you a little bit, Lee. I think they've won you over.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not expecting much from Joe Tryon as a rookie, Lee. That's just the way it's looking to me.
Well, he's a rookie. And if you're going to bank on a rookie and make it an impact, I won't say wishful thinking, but it's a little bit of a leap in faith. Now, granted, Tristan Wirfs comes in, and my gosh, I don't know how you can have a better draft pick than Tristan Wirfs. The impact that he made right off the bat, that's just unreal. Obviously, Winfield. But generally speaking, especially defensive end, a rookie is not going to make an impact. My main concern with Tryon, he hasn't played football since November 2019.
Yeah.
There's got to be a little rust there. There has to be some rust there. So when will that rust shake off? Will it be by the bye? Will it be by December? I don't know. Now, I hope he surprises everybody and has no rust. But, that's a little bit of a reach. But you know what? This organization, the past couple of years, in my eyes, they have the benefit of the doubt when it comes to draft picks. Because they're on a roll. I'm not sweating bullets here. If he gets in 10, 15 snaps a game, great. If he gets 6 sacks in a year, I think the Bucks will be happy as can be. So I'm not down on it. And I have no reason to be down on it.
I'm with you on your main point, Lee. You know, Steve, he's not joining a 5-11 football team that had 27 sacks last year. This team won the Super Bowl. They had 48 sacks, and it's not like Shaq Barrett had an unbelievable year, and they still got 48 sacks. And that's a big number. And, of course, it was helped by Devin White. His 9, you know, certainly helped. If Tryon doesn't have is not a major contributor, it's not a catastrophe, you know, assuming that JPP and Shaq Barrett don't have significant injuries and that he's going to get a lot of playing time. So I'm saying two things, Steve. One, I don't think he's going to be a major factor. And two, I don't think that in itself is that big a deal.
Sage, this is why, and I just speaking for myself, this is why I love preseason. I want to see Joe Tryon out there on the right side. I want to see Anthony Nelson on the left, maybe a little flip-flop, and let them go against first-teamers, second-teamers, third-teamers, Amazon drivers. I want to see what they got. Let them go. Let these guys go. We don't need JPP in the preseason. We don't need Shaq in the preseason. Maybe give Shaq one series or two if he wants to go crazy and show the world that he's Defensive Player of the Year a little bit. But let's see these guys, and let's see where he is, you know, compared to November 2019. That's why I love that stuff. But I want to roll this right into something that Lee wrote and felt and just was sharing earlier this week after watching, a couple of the OTA sessions open to the media. You know, he basically said, and, a handful of people didn't get it, that Kyle Trask is the fourth best quarterback on this team. He's the clear number 4. And this is where it talks to the investiture, Ira, because they're not going to cut Kyle Trask. They're not going to get rid of Kyle Trask because he doesn't look as good in August as Ryan Griffin. But, you know, it speaks to the balance of a guy developing, a guy you have high hopes for versus the production on the field. I know it's different because Trask isn't going to play anyway if the Bucs have a chance of winning the Super Bowl this year. But, you know, just your thoughts, guys. Lee, if you want to expand a little bit.
Lee, I'll just start quickly and turn it over to you. But, Lee, follow me. I know you will on this. If Kyle Trask sees the field for the 2021 Bucs, you're looking at a 6-10 season, any way you chop it up. Because he's not going to come in if Brady's sidelined. He's not. That's Blaine Gabbert's job. That's why he's here. And Lee, check me if I'm wrong, but didn't Arians call him perhaps the most underrated player in the National Football League? I mean, I was blown away by that, Lee. I was blown away by that. You know, that's like calling Tom Bassinger the most underrated journalist.
Tom's a good guy.
And I like Tom Bassinger. And I wish him well in Philly. But, Lee, that's an outrageous statement by Arians. And I like Arians, but it's still outrageous. You're not going to see Kyle Trask. You're not going to see him. And a matter of fact, Lee, I'll set this up for you. You did see him last week. And while the early impressions don't really matter, what were some of your early impressions?
Well, I have to be fair. And before I get rolling, I like Tom. And the fact that he was treated like a piece of dirt by certain people in the Bucs media room elevated Bassinger's status in my eyes.
Yes.
And I got to be fair. Trask is a rookie. He's a developmental guy. That's only the second or third practice he's had. You know, I would be shocked if he knew the playbook. He certainly, you know, all these players are new to him. Whereas Ryan Griffith came in, he's been with the Bucs for years. He knows the playbook. He knows Tanner Hudson. He knows these second-tier receivers, third-tier in the Bucs' case. He knows those guys. He knows what kind of routes they run. He knows everything about them. So he should look better, and he did look better. I've got no dog in the fight when it comes to Kyle Trask. The Bucs have earned the benefit of the doubt who they draft. If Arians and Light think that Trask could be the next Brad Johnson down the road, okay, great. I have nothing against Trask. I would hope people expect me to be truthful with them. I write what I see. And what I saw was a quarterback that was, I don't know if struggling is the right word, but he was clearly the number four quarterback. There was no doubt that Ryan Griffin, if you had to pick one of those two quarterbacks to play in a game today, you would pick Ryan Griffin. There's no question in my mind. If you didn't, you'd have to ask, have you had your eyes checked yet? There's no question in my mind that Griffin was better. Does that mean I'm anti-Trask? No. I just write what I saw, and what I saw was quarterback who wasn't sharp. I'll be polite. Wasn't sharp.
Steve, if Ryan Griffin's on the practice squad for 2021, does anybody pluck him, Steve? Anybody want him?
Come on, Ira, come on. On that nonsense, we're out of here. We do have another podcast this week right here at Joe Bucs.
I demand an answer.
I'm not giving you an answer. Come on, Ira, get out of here. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. you want an answer, Ira? What do you want? What do you want me to say? Of course not.
That's classic.
You know what? Blaine Gabbert, the Buccaneers' backup quarterback, anybody sign him? He was sitting in free agency for a long time. He's number two. He's better than Griffin. So, come on.
Yeah. All right, I'm taking a five-minute break, guys. 5 minutes.
Potty break.
A little potty break.
Either that or you gotta bring your dog outside.
All right, 5 minutes. That's...
You know what, Lee? I'm just going to leave that comedic ending in there. Well, I'm going to leave Ira's potty break in there, and we're going to say thank you to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, Big Storm Beer. That's what you got to drink all weekend long. And, of course, all through the beautiful hot Florida summer. And thank you to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. That's where you want to be in your time of need at your home if you have a disaster. Lee, we are going to walk out of here as Ira takes a break, and we'll be back with podcast number two. coming up this weekend. A lot of beach listening for folks this weekend, Lee. What about that?
How can you go wrong? You bring some Big Storm beer with you to the beach. You bring Ira with you to the beach. You got it made.
And we got a lot more on the docket. All right, we're out.